Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Welcome to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. I'm your host, Connie Whitman. Thanks for joining us this week. So as you listen to the show, I really, really hope that between my guests and myself, the ideas, the tips, the strategies that we share, that you take them and apply them. Because really the application is where we get the results, right? That's where we get the change in our life. So I do hope you take the wonderful guests that I have, and hopefully the information is viable and actionable for you. To help you on this journey of change that we are all, as humans, we're always on it, I provide for you my free gift, which is my communication style assessment. Everybody loves it. You get two reports. One, you get the report which shares your beautiful superpower, your natural communication superpower. And you also get your lowest score, which is the kind of the communication style that you're not like. And that report is on your blind spot. Blind spots are usually more important than our superpowers because we're shooting ourselves in the foot and we don't even know it. So go to whitmanassoc.com/CSA and get your free report today. Again, that link and everything will be in the show notes for you. Now, if you're loving the show, please, please subscribe, rate, and review, whether Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or YouTube. I really do read the reviews. I feel your love, and it just inspires me to make the show better and better for you. So thank you for all of that support. Now, my motivational quote today is by Rick Fetke. Hope I said that right. And Rick says, struggle doesn't make success happen. In fact, struggle can prevent success from happening. If you seek struggle, you're going to find it. If you seek ease, you will find it. So do you often feel that maybe you're forced to choose between that career and your family? Are there mixed messages that you're having, that having it all and achieving that work-life balance is kind of like malarkey, never going to happen? So how do you learn to trust yourself and live a meaningful and that really that fulfilled life when you have so much on your plate? It's kind of hard. So ditch the guilt and the shoulds and join us for today's conversation on how to embrace change in difficult times and live a life aligned with your values. My amazing guest expert today is Allie Dunn, and Allie is a life, leadership, and business coach who helps creative and ambitious women feel empowered both personally and professionally. Along with her formal training in co-active coaching through the Coaches Training Institute, Allie is also certified through the International Coach Federation and also trained in Dare to Lead. She also serves as a mentor coach at the Hilvery in San Francisco, and I probably said that wrong, and works with Women for Change, a nonprofit focused on making coaching accessible to women from diverse backgrounds. As a coach, her highest intention is to help working women no longer live with the one day at a time when we could be living in a fuller, happier, thriving way. So please help me welcome my amazing guest, Allie, to the show. So thanks for being on, Allie.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Important conversation. And I know that your kind of expertise is with women, but I do have women and men listening to the show. So I just want to put it out there that oftentimes we do struggle with similar things. So yes, guys, you'll find value. Additionally, men, if you have a wife or a daughter or a sibling perhaps that is struggling, maybe today's tips would be really advantageous for them, and maybe you could share the show as well. Again, it's all about sharing resources and helping us all live a really beautiful life with ease and grace, right? Without this ongoing feeling of struggle. So talk to us, Allie, about what is your background and what did you do before you started this coaching thing, right? This coaching expedition.
Yeah. So my background, I like to call it my kind of, pre-coach life was in sales and marketing. So I worked in fashion, which was a dream of mine from a child. And I spent my time, traveling. I would go to Las Vegas, I'd go to New York, I would do these wholesale fashion shows, and it was a blast. I was in my 20s having the time of my life, and I ended up I was got married at 27 and then had my first daughter at 30. And at the time, I wasn't sure where my life was going, but I knew having a newborn and traveling around the country was just not viable. Yeah. You know, I was given a 6 weeks maternity leave. And from there, I thought my family was back in Canada. This time I was living in California, and I just didn't know how I was going to make it all work. So in that time, I decided to stay home with my daughter and raise her. So my husband was working marketing at the time himself, and he just really leaned into his career. Wow. You know, he was just hustling and working, and like that dream was unfolding for him. And I was sitting at home nursing my child, watching the Ellen Show, and, you know, crying intermittently. It was a really, really hard time. I didn't know what I thought I was supposed to feel, so grateful and so fulfilled and so happy because I had finally had this child and we were in this, you know, relationship. And, but I realized it just wasn't filling my bucket, but I didn't know what to do. I didn't really have anyone to turn to. I wasn't sure what kind of a modern woman, what it looked like to have a child during these times when you didn't have family around or friends and what childcare and all of that kind of stuff. So subsequently I stayed home, with my daughter and then had another daughter after that for a few years and just kind of drifted, you know, in and out of these kind of, you know, play groups, child groups, conversations with women on the playground, and just always felt like I was missing something.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah. So, yeah.
I have a question for you. Two questions, actually. Did your husband, he embraced the role, right? Because you were staying home taking care of these two babies, right? So he dug in and leaned in and did great things, which is what a partner should do, right? You support each other. Did you share with him that you were feeling, because, and just, I want to just comment one other thing before I ask that question, but you had everything, right? From the outside looking in, perception could be deceiving. So you had this great husband who leaned in like, yes, stay at home. We have no support. This is wonderful. We have this great teamwork going. It's wonderful. Yay. We have this happy life. You have two beautiful, healthy kids. Oh my goodness. Does it get any better than that? And yet the guilt of feeling, ugh, like, what am I missing? Even though you loved being a mom, right? And I think a lot of women go through that. I know I went through that too, because I went back to work and was feeling guilty on the flip side, right? So where is the perfect answer? There really is none. You just have to do the best you can. But did your husband realize how unhappy you were? Or were you hiding that piece of yourself thinking, oh my God, who am I to complain? I have this beautiful life, right?
It's such a good question. So I think both. You know, I think part of me, I think I was, when I look back and reflect, I probably had postpartum undiagnosed. I think I didn't know. I thought it was normal to feel so bad. You know, I thought it was normal to feel detached. I thought it was normal to feel like depressed in a way because I just didn't know what I wanted. So I think I was able to articulate that it didn't feel like enough, but I didn't have a solution. So I think I just kind of kept spinning the wheels. So it would just kind of be Groundhog Day over and over. And he would come home. And I remember I'd be standing at the door, wide eyed, just here, take the child, you know, just take the child. And then maybe I would take a half an hour to myself. I would have a shower or something. And I think it just took a really long time to figure out the unhappiness. And so it started with myself. You know, it started with me, you know, reading some books, listening to some podcasts, you know, going for long walks and starting to figure out, okay, what's next for me? And how am I going to find a solution to this problem when I don't feel like I know anyone who has it? Or on the outside, it seemed like everyone else was so happy.
Yeah.
So I think that's that thing where you're talking about that push pull with the guilt. I just couldn't see the light. And I grew up with a working mom, but she had to work. She was a single mom. And that was the way it was. And I remember that feeling too, growing up, thinking, if I have the opportunity, wouldn't it be nice to maybe be with my children? You know, so it was sort of that as well. And then in that moment, I thought, wow, I am driven. I am ambitious. I am all of these things. And I can't look at the success of my life through the lens of my children's success.
Absolutely. And it's real, right? It's that self-identity. And you have a choice, right? We always have a choice. And just, it's so funny, like your poor husband would come in, you know, take the baby. Like, I just need a minute. And how frustrating for him, because like you said, you had no solution. What's the alternative? Isn't everybody going through this? Oh, well, it is what it is. And him trying to, I'm sure, make you feel better. He must have been brokenhearted and frustrated as well, thinking, I don't know what you need. Like, what do you need from me? So talk about stress even though from the outside looking in, oh, look at that perfect little family. Nothing is ever perfect. Everybody doesn't have it all together. And if you think that, it's such a false statement, and it's all BS, right? People make their lives seem so perfect and beautiful. And we can have a perfect life. Don't get me wrong. But I think that we do that comparophobia. So you poor thing is like, what do I do now? So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, so from there, I had kind of two missions. One mission was to figure out if what you said is true. Was there stuff beneath the surface? Were there women out there who wanted more and they were afraid to say it? Yeah. You know, and then the other was my own personal journey. Okay, how am I going to figure out what I wanted to do? So for my path was I went to some workshops, hired my own coach, went to therapy. So it was a long journey. It probably took me about 4 years really to get to that place of sure. I'm with the kids, I want to move on. And what do I want to do? Which was uncovering, you know, all the feelings I had about being a mom and guilty and, you know, just not feeling enough or that sure. I was in choice. And then on the flip side, I was like, I'm really curious about other women. Are they going through this?
Yes.
So I started hosting at my home, what I would call kind of like book review or book salon. And I would read a book so that my busy friends wouldn't have to bring women together. And we would do like goal setting workshops. And we would have these conversations on like how to get stuff done, how to be productive, how to be authentic. And then what I noticed in these groups, I mean, one person would always cry, you know, there would always be a tear shed, and it moved me. It made me realize that exactly what you said, not everything is as great as it seems. And I would learn from these women in these salons that there was so much more that they were going through, and they would share pain of relationships, maybe with their siblings, things that were going on with their spouses, things sure. that were going on with their children, ways that they were suffering. And I thought, wow, you need more. Like, you need a network, you need a coach, you need someone. And so from there I thought, okay, I'm getting certified, I'm opening this business, I'm running it. And there's just so many women out there, and men too, like you're saying, who feel stuck and they need support.
Yeah. I can only imagine the number of husbands or brothers who see a sister or daughter going through this, right? A dad with their daughter having children and, you know, thinking, why aren't they happy? And there's a lot, right? There's a lot going on emotionally. Your body's changing. You have this new responsibility. There's a lot. That's a really, really huge pivotal point in your life. It's joyous. And at the same time, it's scary as all hell, right? Because you're like, I have no idea what I'm doing. For the first time in my life, or maybe always in my life, where I never know what I'm doing, right? I commend you for being in the throes of that despair and frustration and anxiety and curiosity, which I love that you had that level of curiosity, because I do think that's where beautiful ideas and businesses and things come to life. It's through that lens of a little bit of a curiosity. So as you were doing these book salons and letting people talk and shed those tears, right, where you were being vulnerable, allowing them a safe yeah. space to be vulnerable, which I think is so cool, without having any experience with this, it was a natural fit for you, or you kind of fell into it. When you're in those throes of despair and uncertainty, though, how do you create that opportunity or embrace that change when I think sometimes you feel trapped and like, I don't know what to do. Like, how did you help others, or how did you help yourself, or how did in those book salons, did you guys talk about that to say, hey, we could maybe do this?
Yeah. And I think so, you know, really trusting yourself is number one, right? Trusting that little voice inside of you that says, I want more, or this doesn't feel right. We're taught, you know, as children, we listen to that voice. And as we grow older, it becomes about the external expectation. So yeah. it's what I should do. And you mm-hmm. stop listening to that inside voice. So it's that nagging feeling that comes up again and again. And I think the first step, or what I recommend to clients, is really aligning yourself with your values. So you really need to get clear about what matters most to you. So if you're kind of to draw a parallel, if I looked at my life as in fashion and sales, it was, okay, I love my clients. I love client relationships. I love growth. I didn't care about the money, but I cared about their success. Yep. And so when I looked at my life as staying at home with the kids, it was a bit monotonous. There wasn't a lot of variety. There wasn't growth. I wasn't learning. So these things that used to drive me and light me up just weren't there. Mm-hmm. So I noticed, okay, if I'm going to live this life that's fulfilled and in alignment with my values, there needs to be moments of bravery, right? I need to put myself out there. I need to see myself grow. I need to read. I'm like a sponge. Like I'm the type of person who just wants to be paid to go to school. You know, like I just love that. And that wasn't being honored. So that's kind of my first step, right? Is when I'm meeting with people or in a group, like, what excites you? And where is the disparity between how you're living now and almost like, what is your ideal situation, right? What is your ideal life? Or looking ahead to your future self, like 5 years from now, if you could have everything the way you want it to be, what are the steps that you need to do today to get there? And so it's just being really, really honest. So I think that's the first step. And then the second is really connecting with like-minded people. You know, finding mentors, finding other people who have similar beliefs and values to you so that you have a sense of belonging. Because at the end of the day, I think we just all want to belong.
Well, we're human humans are social creatures. We need that societal connection. We need that human connection. We need that tribe, you know, tribe membership kind of thing. You know, it's fascinating what you're saying. And I'm picturing that, again, that level of curiosity was coming out for you loud and clear. But as you said, you know, where are you now, right? You're unhappy for whatever reason. Don't you find that people, it's hard for them to dig in and articulate what makes them unhappy, let alone when you ask that question, where do you see yourself in 5 years from now? I think most people think alive. Like not sleep deprived, right? Like those kind of silly, but obvious answers. So how I would imagine as you work with your clients for them to understand where that frustration or disharmony in their life is, but let alone where do they want to be 5 years from now? You know what I'm saying? That's a tough one.
It starts with permission, right? Permission to want more. And I think that's just like baseline, right? Permission to want more, permission that it's okay to want more, permission to want more without guilt, right? So I think for some people, specifically in times of change and when you're stuck, you know, given what we've been through in the last year, like how do you see beyond what's in front of you and to see that there's light and there's something? And it's just like micro steps, right? It's just micro moments in your week. What's one thing different that you could do this week just to kind of change it up? What's one conversation you could have with someone? You know, what's one, you know, new recipe you could cook? You know, kind of tapping into your creativity or, you know, things that light you up. Because without those micro change moments, you're not going to see that growth.
Agree.
Right? So it's really holding on and helping people kind of get through those like baby steps. And you're right, maybe they can't see that 5 years right now, but maybe they can see a month from now, you know, and that accountability, holding that space.
And this is why I'm not a life coach or a career coach. I remember I had a client, and it was a gentleman, and he owned several mobile stores, right, locally. And met him at an event and chatted with him. And can you work with my team? Sure, sure. Right, on sales and building, you know, his leadership and sales leadership and all that. Sure, sure, sure. And as we got to know each other, he said, you know, my wife is very disorganized. Can you teach her how to get organized like you're teaching me how to get organized with his meetings and stuff like that? And I was like, well, not like, I'm like, oh, my really wheelhouse. He's like, you're really good at this. And I'm like, all right, I'll be happy to work with her. I would never say no, right? It was a client. He felt helpless, I think, right? Had two kids at home. One had a little bit of an issue. And of course, I said, of course, I'll help. But it was interesting. And then I didn't do it anymore because of this reason. So this is why I love people like you, because this is your zone of genius, clearly not my zone of genius. And I admit that freely. So I went, I worked with her, and she would miss our meetings. Don't waste my time. Like, say immediately, what, your time's more valuable than mine? She was disorganized, right? But that's not where I went. I did not give her empathy. So that's a problem. Second thing, you know, and I mean, I've been on a long journey since about 15 years ago. But the other thing, I would give her things to do. And then like little things of getting organized, like she had piles and piles and piles and piles on her dining room table. So for me, logically, I said, set a timer, pick a corner, 15 minutes, go through whatever, throw out, keep, file, whatever it is, but have a plan. If you're in that 15 minutes, whatever you keep at the end, it has to go somewhere, not on the table. I thought I was pretty clear. She had bins and all this stuff to organize. I thought, okay, good. We'll do this. We'll do this. Tried to set it up for her. And I'd come back, you know, the next week and she'd be like, well, the kid was sick and this and that. And I got called to school. And there was always an excuse. I'm like, you couldn't carve out 15 minutes. So see, my level of frustration went up. And I thought, I can't work with someone like this. But here's why. Here's where the real problem is, right? I'm used to dealing with people who have identified their deficits, fears, and all of that other mindset stuff. And I was going to the cure. I never got to the symptom with her because I had never worked. I was not a life coach. Right? I was a business coach. You know what you're doing with your business. It's easier to look at a business than it is to look within your own crap. So this is what fascinates me. How do you get through that mindset, my world BS, right? But it's not. It's that emotional response. How do you help people get past that? Because that's a tough one.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of my favorite questions is, you know, what about this is important, right? Or what matters most to you in this situation? So something like that, that feels like a should. Like she should be organized, yes. Right? She should be a certain way. And obviously that just wasn't important to her. So what I find if people come back and they haven't done the homework, let's say between calls, there's no shame in that. You didn't do the homework, but let's examine that. You know, let's unpack that. So maybe that was something that you feel like a good wife does or a good person does, or maybe, yes. Right? So it's like when you get into that, exactly that mindset and the stories we tell ourselves, that's also what's getting in the way, right? We're getting in our own way and we don't even know because we're carrying around this stuff. So my job is to unpack that, right? So at the end of the day, what matters? And also for this woman, it sounds like it was maybe about her husband. Maybe he should be the one organizing.
You know? Totally. And it was funny because at one point I'm like, dude, you're part of the problem because I'm very direct. But again, it was a business client. And he's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, she needs help, man. Like, come on. And he's like, well, it's hard when I get home. Oh, because she was sitting around eating bonbons all day. Like, are you kidding? So I thought, yeah, I'm never doing this again. Not good for my business relationship. But I was not equipped to help this poor woman who was clearly in a struggle. And it was funny that you said that because she felt tremendous guilt. How dare I not be organized when he's out there killing himself and I'm home all day with the kids? Well, what are the demands of the kids? They had a beautiful home. She had all the trappings and was miserable inside. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And that's why people like, this is why I think when I met you, Allie, I loved your story because it's like you went through it. You're curious. So this is, you become the catalyst, which I commend, right? Is that businesswoman, that curiosity of that. I would love somebody to pay me to go for 3 PhDs in a row, right? Somebody else has to pay and pay my bills though, so I could do it, right? If only that existed. But that curiosity and then really feeling the empathy of other women and men, really men too, to be able to find what that deep-seated value is that maybe wasn't in alignment or that was missing. So I really, honestly, I pay homage to you. I give you credit because this is deep stuff.
Yeah, it's deep. And I think the other obstacle that we face is our inner critic. And so this probably came up with this woman too when you were working with her, is the idea that the kind of the stories we tell ourselves, right? So it's like, well, I'm not smart enough. I'm, you know, too old. I'm not fit enough. I'm not all of these things that we've kind of adopted through our lives that have become our truths are the things that get in our way.
Yeah.
And so we're scared, right? So we're scared to go over that next step. And so I also work with people to kind of lean into their inner leader or their inner mentor, right? So who's someone that you can channel when you're going through these rough times? Like maybe it's someone you worked with, maybe it's a writer, an actor, it doesn't matter who it is, but just really creating this character that you can lean into, specifically with women in, you know, leadership positions too, women who are, you know, wanting more out of their roles or not feeling like they're getting what they deserve. And it's like, okay, let's amplify that inner amazing self. And like, let's take that quiet, like imposter syndrome, not good enough step, and let's put it on the shelf.
Yeah.
Cause it doesn't belong to you. That's just a story that someone told you, like in middle school, high school, whatever it might be.
Yeah. It's true. And you know, we talk about values. I understand that, but tell me, what if I don't know what those values are? How do you help me start to define and frame out, oh, this is important to me, or, oh, that was a should have been doing that because somebody told me that, right? How do you define that? Because that's another tough one, I think.
It really is. And there's a lot of different exercises that you can do. But I think for me, the one that I find the most beneficial is to really talk to people about a peak experience. So a peak experience is just something that you've done in your life or that's happened in your life where you felt truly like yourself, like the best version of yourself. So for example, for me, one of my peak experiences when I was backpacking when I was 19 in Europe, you know, and so when I think about that, I think adventure, learning new languages, connecting with people, like bravery, independence, freedom, all of these things. And so from that story, I can pull out those values and think, okay, if I felt truly like the best version of myself that time, how can I incorporate that stuff into my life right now? And so I know specifically for me, travel is a huge part of who I am. And maybe it's new experiences, going to restaurants and that kind of thing. But I think it's thinking about those times where you felt so in touch with yourself. Like I've had a client before, I said the day that she got into Berkeley, you know, it was like the moment where she just felt, I am everything that I, you know, I had my learning and my growth and my, you know, all of that stuff. And so just recreating and tapping into those moments is the way for us first to start making that list of our values. And if you can make a list of 5 to 10 core values that are a part of you, it helps make decisions for you when you're in times of change, right? Or when you are stuck, and even just as a simple way to gauge whether something feels right or not, you know, maybe you get a potential client and you're iffy. You're like, I'm not sure if I'm connecting with this person. Should I say yes? Should I work with them? And then you think about your values and you realize, oh, this works. I'm aligned. You know, what I think is the same as this person. Cause often we'll go against our gut, right? Yeah. And that's what we want about trusting ourselves.
Yeah. And it's funny because I have walked away from business. I said this recently to someone, you know, I'm not independently wealthy over here. I remember this was several years ago. We were early in my business. And I remember coming home after the meeting. I mean, I needed the business. My husband's like, what's the matter? And I said, I didn't like the CEO. Now, listen, I don't have to like everybody I work with, but here's what I didn't like. He was setting up his employees saying so that he wanted to sell the business. So he was going to say to the buyers, they're trained. Then what was going to happen is after he sold, he would have made more money, right? His millions. But the people left behind when they merged with the other company, his employees would have lost their jobs because they really didn't have the capability or not the capability, but the ability based on what these other businesses were. They were that behind because he never paid any mind to his employees. So for me coming in, you know, he was talking about his car. He had just bought an Aston Martin. I think I said that right. I don't know. And it was lost on me. You see what I mean? It was lost on me. And meanwhile, I'm talking to the employee. It was around before he arrived at the office. And we were talking about the kids going back to school and she couldn't afford shoes. And I mean, she was a working woman, right? And she might have been a single mom. And he comes in telling all of these employees about his Aston Martin. So I came home to my husband and I said, is that like a Mercedes? Like, is that an expensive car? It was an expensive car. It's like a $125,000 car. And that was the moment for me. I said, I can't. And it was like a $50,000 contract. So we're talking money, right? And I said to my husband, I don't want the business. And he looked at me and I said, he's disgusting. And then I reiterated the story. And I said, how do I get up and tell his employees that he's putting money into you because he believes in you? And he was trying to make more money on their back. It was so out of my values. I walked away from and my husband's like, it's your business. You're the one. And I'm like, I'll find more business. I can't work with this dude. And I walked away from the business, Allie. Like, who does that? But it's exactly what you said. Mm-hmm. It was so out of alignment with my values. Like, I want to help people so they can thrive and grow and be, you know, not ambitious. That's not the right word, but be great role models for their kids and live their joy. And he was using them as pawns. Not on my watch. And I don't know that he ever did the training, and I hope he lost millions by it too. See, isn't that terrible? I'm a mean person, clearly.
But I can, even when you're telling me this story, right? Because I also, another question is I'll ask people, when was a time where you felt distraught, violated, saddened, you know, all of those things. And you can pull your values from those stories as well. Because when you just share this with me, immediately I thought justice, honesty, authenticity, all of these things about you came out. And I was like, yeah, she cannot be misaligned. She cannot work with someone just for the money. She cannot work with someone, yeah, that doesn't light her up and share a similar path or dream. And so I think it's getting clear with that, because I think what happens is we feel the disengagement, or we feel maybe it's depression. We feel these things do come up, or this anxiety, but we can't name it. So we're going through, but when you start to get really clear about your values, you can start to name the reasons why, like you said, certain people rub you the wrong way, or certain situations make you feel at ease. Like there's people like networking, for example, who hate networking, but continue to put themselves out there.
Yes.
It's like, there's other ways you can do that.
Absolutely.
You can have a one-on-one coffee, you know?
Absolutely. It's so funny. And see, that's my zone of genius, where I coach people and I'm like, well, then stop doing that. Let's figure out another way to get the same result. But why are you're throwing up before a networking event? What? Stop this. Like, that's ridiculous, right? So it's just, but see, everybody, here's the problem. We live in the information age, right? Computers. So we can Google anything. What's the best way to generate new business? Networking. So you go to all these networking events, you go on Zoom calls, and even on Zoom, I found where people seem to know each other, because you see the chat blowing up and I think, I don't know anybody here, right? So why am I left out? So it's, again, that goes back to that social kind of fitting in as well. So we force ourselves to do the uncomfortable. We force ourselves to do because I should do that. Like, really, really? If I was a responsible parent, which of course I am, I tease when I say this, but looking from the outside, most people hearing my story said, are you crazy? You walked away from $50,000. What's the matter with you? I couldn't do, Allie, when I tell you, I would have been sick, literally vomiting, yes, before I would go and teach these people, because it was disgusting. He was disgusting to me. He was so repulsive to everything I am and teach. And what, so would that really have been a good model for my kids? Absolutely not. I want them to always be in integrity. So it's people, I'm telling you, friends, colleagues, are you out of your mind? And I'm like, I just couldn't take the business. And then, but then you start with the guilt on the stuff. Oh my God, I'm really a moron. How am I going to grow my business if I turn business away? Right? That whole, everybody's voice is in your head.
But even when you're sharing that part, you think of the impact. So this happens. Yeah. Then you take on this client, you start to feel sick. Physical symptoms start to arise. You develop anxiety, you're going to the doctor, you're like, I'm not sure what's wrong. Maybe you think you have, then you get an ulcer. Then, you know, all of these things that are true.
Yeah.
And they're really happening to people who are making decisions, that aren't aligned with their values, or on impulse, and also necessity. And I'm not, you know, there are moments where we work for necessity, of course, but if you are in choice, and we both like to believe that choice is an option, there's a different way to make that money, or you rearrange your budget.
That's exactly,
you know, whatever it might be. Yeah.
That's exactly what we did. I got more business. I'm like, I'll find more business. I'm not working with him. So I dug in. It was easy. Isn't this ironic, right? Just exactly what you're saying. It was easier for me to work harder, to network more, do more of that, than to go and take the 50,000. Like, that would have been the easy way out. It was not, for me, it would have been a long-term detriment, and I would have complained, and my kids would have felt that. And it just, the pebble in the pond, the dynamic, you know, ripples from there would have been monumental. We're almost out of time, but I just have to ask you, how do you help people, or give a tip for people? How do you find the joy in the day-to-day life? And I think that the value is super important. Everyone, really, really go back and listen to that. What are your values? That joyous time in your life where you were you and it was like everything fit perfectly. There's your values, right? So now, how do you help people find that joy in the day-to-day mundaneness, right? Recording a podcast.
Well, my number one tip for that is just acknowledging your wins. I think we get so caught up in checking those boxes, right? Like, I did this, you know, and you're not absorbing it at a cellular level. And it can be something so small as in, I got my kids to school on time. You know, I got a chance to watch a movie and cuddle with my child. I got a chance to go outside and like smell the roses. I mean, it sounds so simple, but when we don't acknowledge the things that we do that are either bringing us joy or that are pushing us one step closer to the life that we want, meaning kind of disappears, right? So I work with clients. I do a weekly planning and productivity group too. And every week we write how we want to feel. We write how we're going to reward ourselves for the things that we do. And we really are just looking inside and saying, patting ourselves on the back, because at the end of the day, no one is going to do that, right? You have to be your biggest fan.
It's true. And it's funny, those wins, right? We're very good at putting ourselves down. We forget to look at the wins. And when with my business clients, often I say, we're so good at the end of the year, I didn't do this, 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 and this. And because, you know, whatever, for whatever reasons, I said, but do we ever take the time at the end of the year, or the beginning of the year, to look back and say, holy crap, look at all the things I achieved. And by the way, I do that to myself too. I'm always, oh, I didn't get this, this, and this done. Oh, I failed. Did you? When you look back and you really reflect on everything you did achieve, can we pause and pat ourselves on the back? We don't, humans or our society, especially in the United States, I feel like we don't take the time to, yay, the attaboys, right? The attaboys. I did a good job patting myself on the back. We don't do that.
We don't celebrate. And when we get to that next level, we're already planning for the next one. Right. I mean, and I think as 100%. Time has moved on, we've just gotten worse and worse at that. Because I do recall a time, and maybe it was on Leave It to Beaver or whatever, where, you know, dad got the promotion and you had the special dinner. Now I feel like you just don't. It's that there's an expectation that you're going to succeed, and there's an expectation that you're going to get more. And that's just what happens. And I think without acknowledging the small wins on the way, what's the point?
Yeah. And that is a nice way to enjoy the joy of the day, the joy of the moment. I had a class over the weekend, so I worked, right? 7 days a week, you work. Okay, I got to do it. I have to learn this. And whatever happened, I had a funeral and just a couple of things kind of fell into place that I had to leave class earlier because I never would have. But, you know, my responsibility, and the responsibility is not the right word, my level of respect for this person, right? Go to the funeral. But the funny thing is, then that fell through because we were said, no, don't. It's very small. It's just going to be too overwhelming for the parents, whatever. So we ended up not going. And so my husband and I, we got dinner. The kids were at school, right? So they weren't home. And then there's 3 miles for me is the beach. We went over to the beach at night, and we walked on the beach. It was beautiful, like hearing the water, you know, hit the shore. And we're driving home, and I said to my husband, wow, this is not how I thought today was going to go, right? I thought I was going to be in this class till 8 p.m., ended up leaving. That canceled, and we're on the beach, like, woohoo! And we giggled. I got in bed, and I said, thanks for a great weekend. It was the last 3 hours of the weekend, but it was a great weekend. Yeah. We don't do I don't do enough of that, Allie. I don't do enough of that.
And
we don't. None of us do.
Beautiful share. Like, that is exactly what I'm talking about, where we get into the rat race of repetition and we just are kind of settling, and you get in those patterns and you forget to look at the possibilities, and you forget to look at outside. And at the end of the week, month, or our lives, when we look back, like, you're going to remember that.
Yeah. Crazy. And you know, it's funny. I took a picture. I sent it to the kids. They were at school. My son graduating and my other son was down because the apartment's going. They're all going to be home with mom and dad, the poor things, right? But I took a picture. My husband goes, what are you doing? I go, I'm sending it to the boys. And my kids were like, go, mom. That's great. Oh, it looks beautiful. Like, they were real supportive that, you know, I paused to go to the freaking beach with my husband to take a walk. But I have to tell you, Allie, until I got in bed last night, I did not reflect and think that was really nice, because and I do it too. I know you do it too. What's the next thing? What's the next challenge? What's the next thing I have to get rid of, finish, complete, you know, check off the box? We all do it. It's hard. Guys, everybody listening, this is hard stuff.
It is. This is the hard work.
Yeah.
This is the hard work. Self-compassion, taking breaks, being in the moment. Yeah. You know, being happy with what is, like, that is the work. The rest of the stuff is just, I don't know, frosting on the cake.
And here's the good news. We're all going through it. Here's the better news. I'm going to give you Allie's information. I really hope you're inspired by today's conversation. I know I am. And I love that I met Allie. And that's why I was like, we got to do a show. This is so impactful and topical, because we're stressed out as a society, because, and including me, by the way, I'm throwing myself in this pool as well. It's go, 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 go. And we forget to stop. You know, it's the old saying, right? All those old sayings have merit. Stop and smell the roses. There's really truth in that. Stop and smell the roses, right? It's crazy how we don't stop and just stop and breathe, let alone smell the roses. That's like an extra step of anxiety for most of us. It's crazy, Allie. I love what you're doing. Everyone, I think you all need Allie in your life. Please, two ways to reach her. I'm going to give you her website, which is alliedunn.com, and Allie, A-L-I, Dunn, D-U-N-N. So at A-L-I, D-U-N-N. If you have a question for her, please reach out to her directly at Allie@AllieDunn.com. Of course, if you need more Connie in your life, which I hope you all do always, please go to my website, WhitmanAssoce.com. Everything's there. Please take your free communication style assessment. I have a whole bunch of other free resources to help you on your journey of sales and success with business. And I always hope that my guests like Allie inspire you, you know, to take action, of course, on the business side. But hey, guys, we have that personal life as well. And we really do need to, we need to play nice in both parts of our lives, right? In both parts of our worlds. So I really hope this show inspired you to just look at your values and just one day at a time, truly, truly find the joy in the day. And it could be as simple as that cup of coffee in the morning. Don't make it crazy, right? Simple works for us as well. Allie, any last words of wisdom before we sign off today?
I just want to thank you so much for having me. And I do want to share, choose yourself, you know, at the end of the day, just choose you, because when you feel good, people around you feel good. Yeah. Put on your oxygen mask, take care of yourself, and yeah, stop and smell those roses.
Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. Choose you. I love that. Yeah. And by the way, that doesn't mean you're being selfish. Doesn't mean close out the rest of the world. Choose you to support you, and then you could support everybody in your orbit at an exponential level. Well said. Thank you for that. Again, check AllieDunn.com and check out Allie at AllieDunn.com. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Allie, for just a great show. And everybody, I hope you join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together that change. It's here. It's everywhere, every day. Choose to take a different approach. And that's where the magic and change happens. And that's where we move the needle on our lives to live the life that we're seeking, or the journey that we're seeking. Thank you, Allie. Thank you all for joining me on Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. And I truly am honored to have you on this journey of change with me. And I hope my guests and I provide just a little smidge of relief for you to create the ease and harmony you're looking for in your life. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Thanks again, Allie. Have a great week.